We're going to conclude this hour by noting the deep introspection taking place in both India in the wake of the death of a gang rape victim and in America in the wake of the gun violence in Newtown, Connecticut. Both events brought me back to a provocative book published in late 2011, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined. It's the work of Harvard psychology professor Steven Pinker, A World History of Violence, and that book got me thinking. A century ago, at the end of World War I, humanity was seeking an answer to the question of how to maintain peace in the world, to stand down the vast armies and impulses for political conflict between nations. Today, in this century, though, perhaps the conversation is more how to control the individual impulses of violence and brutality between neighbors. Joining us now is Steven Pinker. Happy New Year, Steven.
Happy New Year.
What do you think of this inward conversation versus the kinds of conversations about bringing peace to the world that characterized what went on in the 20th century?
Actually, concern with interpersonal violence, particularly controlling young men, is something that every society faces and always has faced. And in fact, it was an innovation of the 20th century to broaden the scope of violence, to figure out how to get countries and armies from fighting each other. But traditionally, it's been the one-on-one homicides that people have thought about first.
And in the case of the conversation going on in India and in the wake of what's gone on in Newtown, Connecticut, do you see anything fundamentally different about the conversation, or does it really mirror the kinds of introspection and horror and outrage that go with crimes of violence down through history?
Well, the events in India are part of a trend that has already taken place in the West, which is to target rape and harassment and domestic violence as something that should be eliminated or at least minimized. And that is pretty recent in human history. And in the West, in Britain, in the United States, in Western Europe, rates of rape and domestic violence have plummeted since the 1970s, when feminists brought the issue to people's attention and tried to mobilize the police, the social workers, the court system, the press, to treat rape as something that wasn't a male prerogative, not something that had to be tolerated, but something that you could really do something about, and they succeeded. And I expect that kind of conversation is, which we're seeing just beginning in India now, is going to spread to other parts of the world that are more benighted in that regard.
Demographically, there are some echoes between India and the United States in the sense that, economically speaking, there are large groups of males whose traditional roles of being head of household, et cetera, are unexecutable, are unrealizable in the society of the 21st century. And so you do have large numbers of people, for different reasons in India than in the United States, who are disaffected and who enter society with a sense of deprivation and possible entitlement that, at least in the case of India here, does result in violent behavior. Could any of these demographic changes represent a reversal of some of the trends that you describe in your book?
Well, I think India and the United States are very different. And you interviewed recently Valerie Hudson, who co-author of a very insightful book called Bare Branches, which argued that in Asian countries that practice female selective abortion or infanticide, you get a lopsided sex ratio where you've got all of these men with no opportunity for starting a family, and that generally means trouble. That's something that we don't have in the United States to the extent that that one sees it in India and China. And so it means that there are some problems in Asia that are somewhat different than when you get in the United States.
Looking at the U.S. and the debate over gun violence in the wake of what happened in Newtown, do you see a sense of isolation becoming a set of one-off crimes, or is there more a question of tolerance of guns that's at the root of what's going on here, or is this really a very straightforward debate that really goes back 200 years in the United States?
Well, the United States is unusual among Western democracies for having a far higher rate of violence. It's not just because of gun homicides. Even if you subtract out all of the homicides by firearms and just look at the ones committed by bare hands and ropes and candlesticks and so on, the United States is still more violent than other Western countries. And it's partly because the United States was in a state of anarchy until recently, whereas Europe has been under the control of monarchs for a millennium or more. And when the government did come, the people had already gotten used to defending themselves by their own masculine code of honor. And they didn't cede that to the government. They decided to keep that prerogative to themselves. And so you have far more vigilante justice in the United States, far more people, what criminologists call self-help justice, which means that you settle your own scores, you don't call the police to do it for you. And when you're your own judge, jury, and executioner, then the death counts are going to be much higher than when you outsource your revenge to a disinterested third party.
Oh, that's it sounds so cold the way that you say that, but I understand precisely what you're talking about. When we think about the debate both in India and in the United States and accounting for the dissimilarities that I think you've described very well here, do you think in the case of the media sending this message, and of course we live in a time when these debates are very, very public, maybe not so much 100 years ago, do you think it's a consequence of a sense that life is more precious and so we're having this conversation now, or that there are so many of us on planet Earth crowded together that we better do something or we're all vulnerable?
I think there has been an increased valuation of human life. It's actually not a theme that I took up directly in my book, but I realized it when I stumbled across a statistic that car travel has become 6 times safer per passenger mile since the 1950s. And that has nothing to do with violence. And in fact, car accidents kill far more people than homicides do in every Western country. But collectively, without realizing it, without anyone having made the decision, we have spent more on cars and on highways to minimize the loss of human life. And I think that is part of a broad trend that includes a demonization of war, even if it's sometimes breached, but at least we declare that war, unlike our past generations where war was glorious and honorable and manly and spiritual, we now consider it to be something bad. And I think it is part of a greater valuation of human life.
So an optimistic sense on this first day of 2013 from Steven Pinker, yes?
The mere fact that in India and throughout the world where rape is as old as humanity, that people are deciding this is a problem that we have to do something about would have seemed utopian 100 years ago or 500 years ago. The Bible had no problem with rape. That's often how men would acquire a wife. The fact that that the rest of the world is replicating the process, I think, that the West went through over the has gone through over the last 40 years of trying to do something about rape is an optimistic sign.
Steven Pinker, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Steven Pinker is professor of psychology at Harvard University and author of The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined. And from historical risks and narratives for nations and peoples to the personal risks or adventures you might be planning to take this year, Jessica from Oregon writes, I'm going to the Peace Corps in June. Don't know where I'm headed yet, but I can't wait. Jessica's also not the only one embarking on a journey. Here's a listener from East Hampton who writes, I'm excited and scared about traveling solo. I'm rarely satisfied with the trips I take, all of which are with others. So I'm planning to do an occasional vacation on my own from now on. No compromises. Share your story of adventures in 2013, plunges you're likely to take. 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry, wishing you a happy and healthy 2013. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.